Welcome to Resounds, Arts and Culture on the High Plains. I'm Corby Skinner.
And I'm Jennifer Corning, and we're sharing stories of creative people who live and work in the Intermountain West. You rush to the ticket line, select a treat, and choose the best seat in the house. The room darkens and the sound swells. Soon, you're transported to a new world. The shared experience of going to the movies is special. It's transcendent. Today, we welcome theater impresario Matt Blakeslee, the executive director of Art House Cinema, and Brian Oestreich, the man who chooses the films we'll see next.
Matt and Brian, welcome to Resounds. I think it's been almost 10 years since you started Art House, and about 8 years, I can't believe, 8 years since you were last in the studio. Well, so much has changed in that long period of time. But for those of you out there in the listening audience that haven't been to the theater downtown, let's start from the beginning, and we're going to ask you about the start of Art House Cinema and the mission. And just as a quick disclaimer, I have been on the board from the beginning of time and am the most enthusiastic member.
Agreed.
And movie lover.
Yes.
But aside from me, let's get back to Art House. Matt, do you want to talk about the start of that and the mission?
Yeah. So my wife and I, a little over 10 years ago, as Billings natives, felt like there was an opportunity in our community that we love to bring something that we had seen in other spaces around the country here to our town, and that was independent cinema. So smaller budget films, foreign films, documentaries, films that critics are talking about, they're winning awards, but we just didn't have the opportunity to see here in Billings. And so we just had this belief that we weren't alone in wanting to see that happen. So 10 years ago, we launched Art House Cinema and Pub, which just started as a small micro cinema. Everything happened in one small room. But really had this vision to expand it, to have three screens and a restaurant, and really elevate the movie going and interactive experience around what it means to go to the movies. So we've been on that journey now for 10 years, and the community's just been so supportive. We're so happy to be where we are.
So phase one, yep, was just actually opening Art House, and there was one screen and a small bar and a little bit of food and,
yep,
candy and whatnot.
Yep.
And now it's three big screens, or one big screen, two smaller rooms. But the very beginning of it, it was a bowling alley.
Yes.
So what was that process like?
Yeah, so it was Center Lanes for a lot of years. In the late 40s, the G&W building was known as that. And then they closed in around 2008, I believe. And that space sat vacant for a long time. And we went in there, honestly, out of optimistic ignorism is what we like to call it, because we just had a vision and a belief that, again, we can make this work. So we started in just the front corner of what used to be the bar casino area of the bowling alley, and just started there with that small footprint. Is this going to work or not? And after a couple years, which is when you came on the board, Corby, we started talking about, okay, I think this is working. Let's try to do what we really want to do, which is bringing in more and more content and offering that connective experience around the film as well, with a pub out front that you can get food, you can hang out before or after a film and kind of talk about what you're experiencing.
So this is a question, I think, for both of you, Matt and Brian. What on earth made you think that there were people in the community that would be interested in foreign films and obscure offbeat films? And how has it been received?
I think in the very beginning, we kind of felt a little bit alone because there wasn't a lot of people in our community that knew exactly what it is we were trying to do. They thought it was kind of weird and funky. Again, everything was in that small little room. And yeah, it was exciting to have a beer or wine and watch a movie, but the movies themselves weren't necessarily the big draw of wanting to see this, you know, Iranian film, and like that's not what I want to go to the big budget films, that kind of thing. But slowly but surely, people discovered us and experienced again not just a different experience of watching the movie, but I think the power of those films that are off the beaten path a little bit. They're films that make you think, want to have a conversation about it, maybe challenges some worldviews or experiences, which for me became just so paramount to who we are and what we do, that it's not just about offering a different product, but really offering that connective tissue around the film itself. And so whether it's my own personal experience of watching those films and going, this is good, and then trying to get more and more people to experience it, or watching our membership base continue to grow because these members show up and they'll try a film. You know, it's like, yeah, I'll try watching a movie. It's not a big ask. And so they'll watch it and they'll go, wow, this is really good. That was really powerful. That was interesting. And even the other side of the conversation of, I didn't like that. That was awful. You know, we love to ask, well, why? What was it about it that didn't work? And whether it's, you know, grading on an art form or grading it from a story content, whatever it is, that conversation still matters for us. And so we just continue to see more and more people connect with it.
Yeah. From my background, I went to film school in Bozeman, and so I had more exposure to smaller films, independent films, from that education, and that became something that I sought out. So when I had heard that Art House was being built, I was like, I'm excited for this for myself. I hope the community gets behind it, because it felt like I might have been in the minority of people. I had like a handful of friends that maybe would have enjoyed it, but I was glad to see that it was picking up. I had experienced something like it after college. I lived shortly in Portland, Oregon, and they had the Living Room Theaters out there that is a lot like what Art House is now, back then in 2008, 2009, and learned that Matt was familiar with Living Room Theaters, mm-hmm. and one of our vendors was kind of based out of Living Room Theaters. And so it was unique to see that kind of big city, you know, Portland, Oregon sort of influence was coming to Billings. And for me, I was, when I came on staff in 2018, part of my drive to want to work with Art House was this idea of trying to make something like what I had seen in other big cities a success here in Billings, and bring in some of my love of independent cinema as well as some of my film background to Art House to help in any way I can. I don't know exactly where that would lead, but now I'm creative director and choosing films and all that.
Brian, that's so interesting. I saw the Blair Witch Project in Portland, Oregon, in something that was kind of a house. I mean, it was barely a theater. And I just thought, wow, this is unlike anything I've ever seen before. But what I really appreciate now is when the Oscars come around, I do a better job picking out the best foreign film contender. We never had the opportunity to see all those foreign films.
Absolutely. Even in Bozeman, when I was living there, there was such a vacancy when it came to these films that are getting awards acclaim, and I had no way to see them. Like, I just had to like wait until they hit DVD and try to rent it or something, and that window was so long between when it was running theatrically until it would be available on home video, and I just felt like my enthusiasm for it might run out by the time it was actually available to me. And those rare times when, whether it was the mall or some other place brought in one of those films, I would try to jump on it because I knew that they're probably only going to have this a week at most. So, yeah.
And there have been some real success stories in foreign films. I'm wondering if you can recount one of those where just the word of mouth in a community brought more people in.
Yeah, absolutely. I think here at Art House, I think we've had some major success with, you know, especially anything that gets that Oscar nomination that immediately brings more attention to it. And so I think something like Parasite was a huge win for foreign films, in that it kind of showed people that these aren't just stuffy French, you know, period pieces of, you know, people in outlandish garb and that talking about, you know, finger sandwiches and stuff, right. That it's that it can actually be something really engaging and really unique. And, you know, there had been other success stories like that in the past. I think Amelie was a big one. I think Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon was a big one. But it had been a good 20 years since we'd had a big film like that, like Parasite. And I think from there, I think other films like Anatomy of a Fall was a big one that really resonated well with people. And what else have we had?
Well, okay, here's what I wasn't crazy about, but I think it was one of the most popular films in the last couple of years. Here, there, everywhere.
Everything, everywhere, all at once. Yeah. Yeah.
And you not only ran that for a long time, but you brought it back again.
Yeah, and that's a great example. Like Parasite's a great example as well. So Parasite released, we brought it to town because, you know, it, from an independent standpoint, it fit what we were trying to do. It played decent. Like, people were excited about it. It was an incredible film. We loved it. So there was word of mouth happening in our community around, you know, people just showing up like, I talked to my friend and he said I should come see it, which is awesome when that happens. But then it had the Oscar buzz and it won. And so then we're bringing it back and it's a packed house at this point to bring it back. Everything Everywhere All at Once, very similar. We brought it very early in its run when it first released. We loved it. We're like, this thing is incredible. Good crowds, not crazy. But then again, critics start talking about it and we get to be this platform and this place to say, yeah, this is the space. And I think there's you can call it ego if you want, but something about art house for us that we love is this trusted relationship with the community. Brian works really hard to curate the content. He's not just looking at, you know, well, this is releasing, we'll bring it. Like, this guy, so Mondays are like his day where he's picking the films. And, you know, he's like stress emailing, trying to find what's going to be best, not just from a financial level, but from a community level. This is what is going to be best for our community. Stir those conversations and connections. And so to be able to build that trusted relationship that people are like, well, I've never really heard about it. We've got a film right now called Sorry Baby. Most people have never really heard of. He loved it. I love it. And we're telling everybody, no, trust us. Come and check it out because it's great. And that's our hope for the continued success of Art House, is just to see more and more people trust. Like, hey, we're working to bring some culture to our community and experience some different things.
And Sorry Baby, I would say, is one of those that really is on that cusp of it may be a film that gets talked about come awards season, and then all these people that didn't see it this week are going to be like, when are you going to play Sorry Baby? It's like, we played that months ago. But we'll bring it back because it's Oscar nominated now. Yeah.
Brian, having three screens must take a lot of pressure off of you when there's just one screen and you're having to put all your eggs in that one basket for a week or two. So having three screens, you have a lot of flexibility.
Yes, it is and it isn't in certain ways. There's complexities with the industry that we have a lot of films that require exclusivity of a certain screen. And so that becomes this juggle that I do every week of, you know, making sure that our film distributors are happy that they're getting their exclusivity, that this film is getting the amount of screen time that it wants, while being able to bring in other things. And, you know, that balance of commercial and art, so that we're not just, you know, playing the art films, but we're also playing things that get people in the door, because we do recognize that there are people that, you know, like currently we're playing Superman, not an art film, but it is getting a new audience into the space that is appreciating it on a level, and they wouldn't have come to Anatomy of a Fall. But they'll come to Superman and then they'll remember that, oh, this exists. And then maybe they come back later and take a chance on a Sorry Baby or an Eddington or something like that. You know, something that they've heard a little bit of a buzz of. And I'm like, I bet Art House is playing that. I'm going to go check that out. And I can have a beer while I have it. So it can't be that bad, right?
And it's always interesting, too, because, you know, the industry ebbs and flows. So we're kind of in a quieter season right now. So, you know, but we're about to get into fall. And once fall hits, all those Oscar films come out. And then Brian's like, there's like 12 films that I want to play right now. What do I do? Meanwhile, in May, there's like, I guess we'll do this. You know, it's just ebbs and flows.
Yeah, the the fall becomes me pulling my hair out of there. Even with three screens, it's like there are more films than I can play, and I'm going to have to pass on something. And sometimes I'm breaking my own heart because it's like, I really want to show this film, but I don't think it's going to play as well as something else. So, sorry.
I was delighted to see Superman and see all those kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My usual crowd at Art House is people old as I am, you know, and we're there for arty films and, you know, oh, good, there's a new French blah, blah, blah. But seeing Superman and kids with popcorns and parents, you know, enjoying it, I think that was the same with Wicked maybe a year or two ago. But I guess I have a question for both of you, and I'm wondering, I don't watch TV, and I don't spend screen. I mean, I work and I'm on screen, but I don't watch online. But it has made a huge impact. I'm wondering, how has online streaming affected theatergoers and your general operations?
I think there's an industry side of it that Brian can speak to because it's what he lives in. I think from a more cultural standpoint, I think what our hope and belief is, and we do see success, the long-term longevity of this success is probably the question mark, but there is something truly magical that cannot be replicated at a home when you're by yourself or with just one or two other people. And it doesn't matter how big your screen is or how awesome your sound system is, there's something magical about a room full of strangers experiencing something together. And whether that's the first time you're seeing it or the 100th time you're seeing this classic film, that's the magic of cinema and movies to us, and that's what we're leaning heavy into. So every film that we try to do a unique intro, and that's a relational touch point for us to say, we recognize you are in this room, and whether the you is five people or the you is 100 people, we recognize there's something special about this, and so we want to set it up in such a way that we all get to experience it together, and then our hope and goal is to get everybody connecting around that film afterwards, which is why we have the pub, the space to eat and drink before and after films, to just ask that question, what did you think? And to your Superman point earlier, Corby, my favorite part about Superman is, again, yes, seeing kids in there, but I've been in the pub afterwards, like after a Superman, and you've got a 10-year-old going, Mom, what did you think about Superman? And they're engaging the content in a way, rather than just like, well, let's just go to the next thing. Like, let's sit and talk about this stuff. So from a cultural standpoint, yes, streaming is a thing, and yes, people are streaming more content than ever before, and that meter is going to only continue to go up. But we believe there is something magical that no matter what streaming available, this can't be replicated. So that's what I would say from a cultural standpoint.
Yeah. Industry-wise, I think it's a really unique time we're in, and the industry is still adapting to how it's going to go long term, because I feel like the industry, especially when it comes to smaller films, is a little more hesitant of releasing things and being able to trust what had worked for decades of, you know, a film comes out, maybe it's not in the top 10 of the weekend, but it hit a nerve with some people, and that it's going to have a slow growth over time. And so it maybe doesn't have the best opening weekend, but 3-4 weeks later, it starts to pick up because of word of mouth, because of people that said, like, yeah, this isn't Superman, it's not big explosions, but this touched me in a really deep level, and I think you'll resonate with this too. And then that spreads across of, this is a personal story that you need to see in a theater with other people. But the industry, the studios aren't necessarily trusting that. They want to see those big returns immediately. And when they don't get it in those first 2 weeks, they're like, put it on Netflix, put it on Hulu. Like, let's just get it out where other people can find it. And it's great that there is that opportunity that people can find those things in their home and watch them there. But like Matt said, there is a magic to watching things in a theater with strangers, especially these personal films. I think that seeing these very vulnerable stories or these very unique stories in a shared space, you connect with people in a way that you can connect with those people because you're responding, you're having an emotional response to this story, and people are seeing you have that emotional response, and that builds empathy as opposed to, you know, quietly crying at home or something where no one can see. That might feel good to your soul, but there's something more connective of like, we both cried over this. We both are having this moment together, and understand that there is this human condition that we are both experiencing. It's not you living alone in that. And so there's something with that. All that to say, the other complaint I have with streamers is that because it is so vast and endless, something like Sorry Baby or some other smaller films that I brought, like Sometimes I Think About Dying, something that I resonated with so hard. It is the tiniest movie shot in a little small town in Oregon that, yeah, it's on streamers. You can find it, but people aren't seeking that out. Right. People aren't being able, it's just lost in this ocean of other content that they are not going to find that thing. Whereas when it's one of three things that we're playing at the little right. theater, they're like, maybe I'll take a chance on that and be able to discover something really special because we curated it, we showcased it, we said this is worth seeing.
So I think it would be, gentlemen, I think remiss not to mention the Babcock. About 7 years ago, you took over management of the Babcock, and a lot of things have happened there, structural damage. So before we close, because I want to know more about what your future is for Art House and planning. But Matt, do you want to address what's going on with the Babcock right now?
Yeah. So at the end of May, we had a staff member show up for their day. It was early Wednesday morning and walked into an absolute mess of a theater and quickly looked up and discovered about a quarter of the ceiling had fallen. And so covered most of the balcony. And so obviously we closed and we've spent the last few weeks now getting architects and engineers trying to understand what happened. At the end of the day, age and decay is really the cause of that plaster ceiling collapsing. We know that the structure itself is solid and sound, but we also know that whatever we do to fix it, we need to make sure to guarantee that the rest of the ceiling is also safe and secure. And so we're still in the mode right now of working with insurance. It is city property that we're leasing from the city, managing for the city, and so we're dealing with the city as well. But as Art House, we at this point are still very committed to our initial step towards the Babcock. This is a historic space for our community. Community. We have a unique vision and I think skill set to bring content to that theater and have a long-term vision to hopefully do more and more, not just films there. As far as what that path and story looks like to get there, we don't know at this point because we're still trying to figure a lot of other things out. But for us, we believe that the community has come to not just love Art House as a space, but as an organization and what we're trying to do as an organization in our community. And so we stay committed to, well, what's best for the theater, what's best for Art House, and what's best for the community. And so we're working on that, and we hope to figure that out hopefully in the coming weeks as some more stuff gets settled. But that's where we're at right now.
You have a vision for Art House more than just film.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen things go on, concerts, readings, discussions. Do you want to talk a little bit, just briefly, both of you, how you see what Art House does in the community evolving in the coming years?
Yeah, so our vision and mission is connecting Billings through film, art, and culture, that we see, again, that relational component. And so film is very much at the center of the target for us. And you know, as an organization, we're committed to aiming at the center of that target. But as we expand out, art and culture become more nebulous terms. But we believe there's opportunity through these venues and spaces that we have to connect more of our community around those things. And so one of our I think, proudest things for us as an organization is not just the content we bring, but all the organizations that we get to partner with that bring in their own content to our spaces and theaters. And so we want to see more of that happening in the future. And whether that's nonprofits, you know, showing a documentary about the work that they're doing to stir our community towards their work, or it's just private events, things like that. But then also, as we grow as Art House, that we are able to kind of produce some of our own content, and whether that's, you know, music or poem readings or different art experiences, again, we're trying to connect each other around it. We all have the entire world at our fingertips on our phones with the internet, yes. But again, there's something magical about getting community together to experience it in a room together. And so, again, don't have a lot of details right now of what that looks like, but we know that film art culture for us is a part of who we are, and we're excited to move forward in that.
Yeah, and I love the space we have, more so than a conventional theater, that we do have the ability to do unique things. Pretty much since the beginning, there's been the Charlie Brown Christmas that we've done with the live music that is something that you couldn't do at an AMC. Like, that is something that is very special to us, and I love being part of that. We've talked about doing similar things with silent film, of being able to do live scores to silent films, because it's not going to ruin the soundtrack to just turn the movie down, play the music. You're not interrupting any lines by any means. And then I also love the idea of what other people are bringing to the space, that because we have a screen, because we have this, it is a unique space to do. In my dreams, I always think of like Spalding Gray and his monologues, and how he had these audiovisual components to those that you couldn't just do in like a black box theater. It really required a screen and some sort of staging, and that is totally unique, and I would love to see someone do something like that in our space, that utilizing not just the film aspect but also the live component of that, I think would just be fantastic.
I think I would congratulate you on the fact that you have made Art House be a part of the community, so the community feels okay to come with you. I mean, nobody goes out to the big screen and says, I'd like to put on a special event. You know, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, the local filmmakers aren't knocking on their door too much.
No. So I think what you have done for the community is still very open-ended, and I think that's so positive.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
I do wish, as great as it is having three screens, sometimes I wish we had 10 screens so that I didn't have to say no to some things that I would love to see.
Talk to your boss about that.
Yeah.
Well, technically, Corby, you're on the board, so he's looking right at it.
So, Brian, Matt, this has been so much fun. Thank you for being here. We will have more information on our website, YP Radio. Thanks for joining
the
studio.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Resounds, Arts and Culture on the High Plains, produced by Corby Skinner, Jennifer Corning, and Ken Siebert for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music by Alex Nauman. Hear this program anytime online at ypradio.org.